You damn right. I hope you're having a great Friday. It is the last Friday of October. That's right. In 2020, you check them off days at a time, weeks at a time, months at a time. I think maybe we get to get through October, even as strange as it is. Happy Halloween Friday. That is tomorrow. I'm in a great mood today for a lot of reasons. We'll get to why. I'm not in a good mood. It has nothing to do with Trey Elling not being here. That doesn't put me in a better mood. That puts me in a slightly worse mood because I wish Trey was sitting right across from me so we could do the show. Trey Elling is still recovering from COVID, but the great news is he's been feeling good. Mild symptoms to start with, and then yesterday he said he felt much, much better. When he came on to do our picks yesterday, he actually said he would consider himself 100% as far as the way he felt. Obviously, we're going to take the precautions, and we were talking about it today, if we're going to get Trey some equipment to get hooked up. Maybe he'll be doing it from the house or whatever next week. But we'll figure all that out. By the way, thanks in advance to Bucky Godbolt, who not only does the morning show, and he does not have to do this. He knows I will let him just come on and do like a segment, but he insists on, no, I'll give you a whole show. I'll give you a whole show. So Monday, Bucky's going to come in and do the whole show with me. I do appreciate that. I'm Chad Hastings. Sam Pica, the soldier, is our producer today, as always. He's been here the last few days with me. I do appreciate Sam rocking the red today, rocking Spider-Man today. I dig that shirt. I dig it a little more if that logo was even bigger, just right across the center of your shirt.
Oh, you didn't catch the back then.
I am an ant. I don't know why. But I'm an anti small thing on the left breast, big thing on the back of a shirt.
Really?
I don't like those shirts.
Why?
Because I just want it on the front in the middle. I don't care about back of a shirt. And if you have back of a shirt, that's fine, but give me some on the front of the shirt.
I got to give you a show when I'm walking away.
I understand, but why don't you give me enough of a show walking towards me?
That's all of this. I'm pointing at my face for the people who can't see.
I'm supposed to see you today and go, oh, it's business Spider-Man. Okay, yeah. He's going business casual Spider-Man.
This is the shirt equivalent of a mullet, pretty much. It's Man. Business in the front.
Yeah, you're right.
In the back.
You're right. I am more of a straight up, give me the, today I'm wearing the Dallas Cowboys shirt and it's right across the front. Dallas Cowboys football. There's no like, you know, little left breast picture and then big picture on the back. I don't do those. Don't like those. Don't buy those kind of shirts. Can't do it. Can't win with them. Need winners. All right. So Sam is here. And like I said, I'm in kind of a good mood today for multiple reasons. One reason is Halloween falls on a weekend in 2020. Now, the pandemic is part of this too, obviously. The pandemic has an effect because even if it was on a weekday, I guess office politics could be different. But by having it on Saturday, I'm guaranteed that I don't have to deal with a full-grown adult, you know, dressed up for Halloween at work. It's not really my thing. You've probably heard me talk about it. This is not one of my favorite holidays. I love November 1st. But for all those of you that love Halloween, it sucks that if your parties got changed, please be careful out there if you do go to Halloween parties and social distance. And I mean, masks are part of Halloween anyway, so hopefully everybody's just wearing even more masks. But I am glad it's on the weekend. And by the way, speaking of Halloween, another reason I'm in a good mood today is this really cool interview that Trey got, even while he was dealing with COVID and all of this. You know about Trey and his great interviews with the Books on Pod podcast. If you don't, check it out, booksonpod.com. He reads the book. Like nobody else. He asks questions like nobody else and gets these amazing interviews. But there's also something going on tomorrow for you Halloween freaks that remember a little movie from 1981 called Evil Dead. The star is Bruce Campbell. Trey got an interview with Bruce. We're going to play you part one at 12:30, part two at 2:30. But here's what you need to know. They are screening Evil Dead tomorrow at the Paramount. God, that'd be a great place to go see any movie, but especially a movie like that on Halloween. Go to Austin, what is it? AustinTheater.org. Go AustinTheater.org to find out information. They've got VIP tickets available. You get somehow they set up a socially distanced picture that you can get with Bruce Campbell. So that interview coming up part one at 12:30. I'm also in a good mood today because I've seen and heard about things out on the roads and highways and byways that are making me feel good about people. Number one, I just watched a video where Terry Bradshaw helped a dude jump his car. Somebody was videoing this, wondering what was about to happen. Terry Bradshaw was about to be awesome. That's what was going to happen. By the way, if you're Terry Bradshaw wearing a mask and you have to ask the younger person, where's your mask? Come on, young man. You're not going to wear a mask to protect Terry Bradshaw. He's an American treasure. He's a living legend. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion. Come on. What are we doing? So good on you, Terry Bradshaw. Also, shout out to the family that was behind me on the road. A lot of times we see road rage. A lot of times we see fighting and screaming in cars. I saw a family having a good time. I couldn't tell if they were doing air guitar, air drums, or like air calisthenics, but the mom was in the front seat. The kid was in the back. Hands were waving. Everybody was smiling and laughing. That was awesome. Also, shout out to whoever was driving that Mustang to my left the other day. Out on the back roads, 973, headed out towards Manor. Man, I love it when people drive the car they bought. I can't stand it when people buy a car and don't know how to drive it. I'm different than some people will see more powerful cars than they have or nicer cars than they have, and they get jealous or whatever. I don't get jealous. I just want to see it move. Let's go. I was on the right because I'm in my car. I'm rocking like 170-something horses. That's it. I know what my man's got under the hood. I believe it was a guy. And he's sitting in the left lane, and we're both in the front, waiting on a red light. And I thought, oh, when this turns green, buddy, you got to go. One, because you'll get out of my way, and I don't have to worry about it. And two, I want to see the horses run. Let's see that Mustang. And he took off like he was supposed to. That was fantastic. Awesome. So I'm in a good mood today on a Friday. Unfortunately, we do have to jump right in with some not-so-great college football news. Lots of college and pro football to get into today, but let's start with one Trevor Lawrence. Damn. Sucks, man. You can have a contest, I guess, in the NFL. Remember we talked about it through this whole COVID process. Who's the biggest name that's gotten COVID-19? But the NFL, it's been coaches, right? Some big-name coaches. Gruden, Sean Payton, Anthony Lynn, those type of guys. But now we definitely know who the biggest college football name is that has gotten COVID-19. Nick Saban had a false positive. He would have been the biggest, right? I guess technically they decided that was a false positive. Well, I hope this one's a false positive, but Trevor Lawrence did test positive for coronavirus. So he is being quarantined. Interesting note, I saw an interview on SportsCenter last night with Greg McElroy, the former Alabama quarterback, that is broadcasting the game this weekend, Clemson and Boston College. He said, now that he thinks back, it's interesting that he talked to Trevor Lawrence on a Zoom, like he's talking to other guys. Trevor wasn't at the facility. Trevor was at Trevor's place. So he's thinking, well, was he already being quarantined? Was he already being isolated while they were waiting for the test results? So here's why I bring that up. Clemson plays Boston College, assuming the backup, who I'll talk about in a second, can handle his business. They will go, continue undefeated into next week's game at Notre Dame. That's next week, which is fantastic. So time-wise, what's going to matter here, the ACC protocol is 10 days. 10 days from symptoms. When symptoms start, 10 days later, they think you could be back in action, or back at practice, or back wherever. So, what we don't know is, what was his starting point? Did he have symptoms on Tuesday and they tested him and they got the test results on Wednesday? Because we didn't find out about this really until last evening. So did symptoms start Wednesday and that would be the day? If it's Wednesday, then 10 days would get him right up to Friday of next week. It'd be right at this time. So it could be, maybe if he was getting symptoms earlier than that, Thursday or Friday, but there's a good chance that Trevor Lawrence wouldn't be able to practice either way for next week's game. Obviously, you would trust him to not practice and go ahead and play, but keep an eye on that as we move forward. Also, if you've watched any Clemson this year, you might have seen the young man that is the backup quarterback. It's one of those names we all have to learn how to pronounce. We all had to learn Tua Tagovailoa. This one is DJ Uiagalelei. That's where I'm going to go with that. Uiagalelei. I believe that's correct. And he is one of those quarterbacks, one of those freshmen that everybody's talking about. Kid out of California, 6'4", 250. Kind of in the Ben Roethlisberger. It's almost like a right-handed Ben Roethlisberger and Tua had a baby kind of a guy is sort of what he looks like to me so far. 6'4", 250 is the height and weight. Completion percentage so far is 63%. He's 12 of 19. He has not thrown a touchdown. He has not thrown a pick, as you could imagine. They're not going to make him do very much, or have not asked him to do very much so far. He does have the most attempts he has in a game is 11. Of course, he played a lot against the Citadel. 8 of 11 against Citadel is the most that he's thrown. And I don't see the rushing numbers here in front of me. But it'll be interesting to see how he plays. He, according to many, is the next guy. He's going to be the next guy to step up for Trevor Lawrence. So that's who to look for tomorrow. And that is a morning kick. If you're just chilling out at the house, or, you know, hopefully listening to our pregame, Longhorn Game Day, brought to you by Coors Light. We crank up at 11, so we'll be keeping you up to date with our Plucker scoreboards on that game. But BC and Clemson is an ABC kick at 11 o'clock. So that big news, not great news, but that big news in college football. You've also got some stories in the NFL. Let's just keep our minds around it. Yesterday, we talked about the Giants offensive lineman that tested positive. Could that put the Monday night game in jeopardy? Not yet that we know of, but we also have Denver postponing their practice today. Offensive lineman test positive. Minnesota's had a linebacker test positive for COVID-19. So does that affect anything on the schedule? If you're fans of these teams, pay attention. Green Bay plays Minnesota, so that could affect an Aaron Rodgers game. That one's at Green Bay. The Chargers are going to Denver for an afternoon kick. That would be the game affected if somehow the Denver thing continued to, pardon the word, but spread or expand to different people. But they're trying to put the protocols in place, trying to isolate these guys. Hopefully that will work. So we've got all that going on the pro and college side. Of course, around these parts, it is all about Texas and Oklahoma State. If you're a Longhorn fan, whoo, I'll just take the pulse. Let's take the pulse. Let's take the temperature. Where are you today on a Friday? I've said it for years. One of my favorite things about Longhorn fans is how real they are, the fact that you can't fool them. So how real is it today, Longhorn fans? I've heard from fans this week that say, Chad, I'm already done. It's over. It is over. We need a new head coach. I've had fans tell me they're not even watching the team. That's how disenfranchised they are with this group right now. They're not wasting the 3.5 hours. I've had that verbiage given to me this week. So where are you today? And let me turn it around from earlier in the week. Give me a sense for what happens if they win. Texas hasn't beaten a top 10 team on the road. True road game. In 10 years. We talked about it yesterday, the 2010 wacky, crazy Nebraska game. Saying goodbye to Nebraska before they went to the Big Ten. And that's the last time. Also, Tom Herman, in a true road game, has not beaten a top 10. In fact, Tom Herman hadn't beaten a ranked team in a true road game. No matter what his ranking is, he happens to be unranked in this one. So what happens if that happens? Like last week, there was a lot of craziness around the eyes of Texas. But it seemed to calm itself pretty efficiently. I'm not saying it's gone, it just calmed down. How much could calm down if Texas wins tomorrow? I mean, if it looks good and they win, if the running back rotation looks good, if the receiver rotation looks good, if Sam Ehlinger is dealing, and if you don't know the name Trace Ford by the end of the game, if that Oklahoma State defense is controlled and contained and the Longhorns win the ball game. What do you think? What's it going to be? Somebody's texted in. If Texas wins, they'll confuse us by winning out the rest of the games and lose at the Big 12 championship. Wow. Man. This says, tired of watching everybody play. I want to see our best 11 on both sides for the majority of the game. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Somebody bringing up recruiting. By the way, I should mention this. Last evening, we had a continuation of the recruiting story because you had Quinn Ewers decommit And the discussion yesterday we had with Jeff Howe said those other two guys in the 22 class, don't necessarily expect them to stick around. This could be an anti Pied Piper thing, where when he walks in, he might bring a lot in, but as he walks out, they may go with him. Faison Wilson, the receiver out of Lancaster, decommitted. He did it respectfully, if that matters to you, on social media. He ended it with a, you know, hope there's no bad feelings, but if there is, hey, even, you know, much love and hook 'em, the hook 'em emoji and hashtag hook 'em and all that. But that did happen last evening. So let me know what you are thinking. Somebody says if Texas wins, they'll lose to Kansas. See, that's uncalled for. There's no reason to say that now. Going into the week, I didn't feel good about Texas' chances. After taking a closer look at Okie State, I feel like they're a bit overrated and it will be a close game. Interesting way of looking at it. When I see Oklahoma State, I see a couple of little... Here are the flaws to me, if there are flaws. The one question going into the year for them, a lot of stuff back on defense, it was about blocking. It was about their offensive line. And you may have heard me say it this week, but one of the stats that jumped out to me was their 92nd in tackles for loss allowed. So they're allowing a lot to get to them. And there's a Chuba Hubbard moment from the last game that really shines this up. So I remember a couple weeks ago in the NFL, they were talking about blocking and scheming and everything, and Troy Aikman had a great line about, you know, if we'd schemed every play to where we had to block every single person on the defense, and Emmitt Smith had to, like, was only going to run the ball if we had everybody blocked, well, Emmitt wouldn't be the all-time leading rusher, because at some point we would set it up where, you know, every once in a while, Emmitt, you got to beat that guy. So flash forward to Chuba Hubbard last weekend. Go back and watch the touchdown that makes it 14-7. Chuba Hubbard gets the ball, handoff left. The play is blown up instantly. Instantly. His left tackle and guard have essentially collapsed on him. He's got a guy right on him. Chuba is able to work off of it. He's able to move. He realizes it's broken down. Play's not going to do what it was designed to do. He goes left. He goes right, an incredible lateral move to his right, where he encounters another guy who then begins to tackle him. And I mean in a good solid tackle. He starts to wrap Chuba Hubbard up. Chuba Hubbard gives him a stiff arm as he's going right, which gets him off of him just enough. He's still looking like he's going to tackle him, but Chuba is able to stiff arm him enough where Chuba goes to the ground, but he doesn't go down. His hand hits the ground, and then he kind of goes into the blocks like he's a track star. He turns his body back towards the left side of the play, where it was designed to go, and he goes diagonally across the formation, if you will, across the field, and he hits the front left corner of the end zone for a touchdown. It's like a 22, 32-yard run, something like that. It was awesome, but it was all Chuba Hubbard, all Chuba. So to the Longhorns, can you use your defensive front and make that happen over and over again? Is Chuba going to break some? Yes. But can you make that Oklahoma State offensive line look kind of ordinary? They're not fantastic. Now, some Oklahoma State fans will tell you what they want to see tomorrow is the complete game, because they feel like if the Cowboys bring a complete game, nobody hangs with them. Texas or anybody in the Big 12, nobody can hang with them if they really come out and go. So the offensive line's the first thing. The other thing is 10 penalties in the game. Just some sloppiness. I always feel like Mike Gundy's teams have a level of sloppy to them. Let me take you back. You know the comeback in Austin, right? Yeah, Vince Young and the Longhorns are a massive part of that, but generally if you blow that kind of a lead, you got to be a little sloppy to do it. Mike Gundy's teams can be that. The comeback in Stillwater the next year, look, Vince Magic is Vince Magic. And that was a Halloween weekend, I believe, as well. It was incredible, right? And Donovan Woods going up in the air, and we all know what happened. But a little bit sloppy. How about the game in Stillwater where Colt McCoy was the quarterback for Texas? Remember that one? Remember the one where Oklahoma State was in pretty good control of the game? They were doing everything right. They were pounding the ball on Texas. And then Mike Gundy ran a dumb end-around play, changed the whole ball game. Colt and the crew came back on him. Remember that one? Just a little bit of sloppiness. That's what you hope for if you're a Texas fan. You also hope that your players are just tired of it. They're tired of hearing it. They're tired of reading it. They're tired of seeing it. and they want to defend their coach, or they want to defend their own honor, or they want to, whatever it is. They just want to shut everybody up. Maybe they're pissed that they just won a game. They won a game. They feel like their running game gained a little something. They feel like they found something, and they're still getting ripped on. And their coach is still getting ripped on. And recruiting is still going badly during the week. Has it pissed them off enough that they're just going to go play well? Let me know your thoughts on the game, Longhorn fans. Remember, the Specs text line is there for you, 337-3776. Dustin McComas coming up at 1. Kevin Dunn will jump in at 2. Again, Trey out, recovering from COVID. We'll hope to get him back as soon as possible. But you're going to hear from him. Don't worry. He got this cool interview with Bruce Campbell of Evil Dead fame and a whole lot more. I know him from the 3 Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. He was the announcer in number 1 and had a couple roles in each one. Sam Raimi, that directed Evil Dead, directed all those Spider-Man movies. So that's the connection. He and Sam Raimi are best friends, went to college together. That's how they ended up doing Evil Dead. So Trey's going to get into some of those stories, and we'll keep telling you about how you can check out that screening tomorrow of Evil Dead. So Trey and Bruce Campbell coming right up. Scottish guy, before the hour is done, you know he'll have a thought or two on this Oklahoma State game. Hope you're having a great Friday as we round out October. Remember, turn those clocks back late tomorrow night when you go to bed. This is The Horn.
His radio would say,
control tower to goblin, your broomstick is wobbling, you better make a landing right away.
It soon got so he could only ride when the witches.
All right, sounds like Sam Pika might be going with some spooky Halloween music, and I think you're starting with one of my favorite voices ever. Is that Ella?
No, this is Rosemary Clooney.
Oh, Rosemary Clooney. My bad. It's Billie Holiday, Ella, Rosemary Clooney. There's a group of them that sometimes I will mess up, but it has that kind of feel to it. Good for you. What's this one called?
Wobbling Goblin.
The Wobbling Goblin. Be a lot of wobbling goblins around this area tomorrow night. Those parties are still going on. All right, we hope you are having a great Friday. Let's remind you that Beat the Pluck is still going on. You can register now at the contest page at hornfm.com for your chance to be one of Kevin's wingmen. If you missed it yesterday, every Thursday at 5, so go to their 5 o'clock hour during the triple option. Kevin and Dave from Pluckers make their picks. If Kevin wins, the wingmen score $25 to Pluckers. If Dave wins, all the names go back in the hopper for the next drawing. You can find the details at hornfm.com. All right, before we get into this interview with Trey, check this out. Trey's letting me know, even though he's recovering from COVID, he's still got things going on. He has set up an interview with none other than Matthew McConaughey. He's going to talk to Matthew about his new book, Green Lights, next week. They're going to we will be airing it next Friday at 2. And also, you can go to texasbookfestival.org to sign up for the virtual event with McConaughey in conversation with Ethan Hawke about the book. So check that out. That's texasbookfestival.org. All right, on this interview, it is Trey getting to talk to Bruce Campbell. Since tomorrow is Halloween, what they've decided to do is they're going to show Evil Dead at the Paramount. So if you go to austintheater.org, you can find out how to get tickets to that if you want to go check out the event. And he's going to be there. They're going to do like a socially distant, safe conversation with Bruce Campbell afterwards. Trey got a nice conversation with Bruce Campbell. Let's play part one of the interview right now with Trey and Bruce Campbell of Evil Dead fame. Here we go.
I know you've been to Austin a number of times in the past. What do you enjoy most about this city, and do you have any good stories from your time here in Central Texas?
I have good stories from hanging out at the Jackalope too much. I will say that.
Lots of fun pictures on the walls there.
Yeah, it's the coolest town in Texas other than 4 other cool cities, you know. I mean, but it's the most laid back Texas town, I think. San Antonio's pretty laid back too, but like Dallas isn't so laid back, and Houston's not really laid back because they're too busy. In Houston, they're too busy tearing up the roads and building freeways. I mean, it's amazing. And Dallas is pretty busy too, but Austin, they like to have fun. They like to kick back, and they've always come out. Austin has always been, you know, the Alamo Draft House. I've been going to that place forever, and it was just a blast of a place to go. We're going to see how that pans out.
I would imagine that some of the horror movies that you've made over time, and obviously October is your wheelhouse. You're able to do so much with people just eating up things like The Evil Dead and Army of Darkness and some of the other very entertaining movies that you've made over time. But the Draft House was one of those original places that was leaning hard into those types of movies.
they liked weird movies. The Draft House always played cool movies, kitschy movies, retro movies, old movies. They're kind of just movie lovers. Tim League, who I knew over there for years, just great lovers of movies. And they pioneered a system where you go have fun while you're watching movies. You know, it's not your dad's way to watch a movie. You want beer, pizza, pound on the table, make noise. It's the way to go. I never saw anything like it at the time. And now there are a lot of other outfits are trying to sort of emulate that experience. But we're going to have to see what's going to happen to our theatrical friends.
Yeah, hopefully we can get back to a point where we are able to sit in crowded theaters once again. But you're doing something really cool at the Paramount with a showing of Evil Dead followed by a conversation with you. And even though the Paramount is obviously respecting social distancing, there are people who are eating these tickets up. There aren't a whole lot of seats just yet. That has to feel pretty good that even in these COVID times, that people are pretty enthusiastic to come out and see you.
I'm always very appreciative of that. Of course, we want people to be safe and to feel safe. These theaters and venues, they do take the time, they do the efforts, and we'll all be conscientious about it. Because here's the thing, I don't think any of us want to get shut down again.
No.
Regardless of where you live, what you do, what your political persuasion is, we want to get back to doing what we're doing. We'll see. I guess if we're compliant, we get through a long winter, you know, maybe this will happen. But it's kind of bizarre. Sometimes we have to book a larger venue to get the correct amount of seats available to sell. So it's been an interesting thing that you can't sell to capacity. So we'll see how that plays out.
No doubt about that. And I think that places like Texas, I'm assuming Oregon to a degree as well, are better off than what's been going on in California over these last 7 months now too.
Yeah, a lot of it, you know, depends on how much population you have in your state. If you're a very populated state, you're going to have more problems than rural parts of the country, you know. I just drove through eastern Oregon to Boise, and, you know, they don't have the issues there because they don't have the people.
That's right. In researching for this interview, and as someone who has seen the original Evil Dead a number of times, it was interesting to read about how chaotic things were in making this movie back in late 79 and early 1980. In your autobiography, you described the film's production as a comedy of errors and 12 weeks of mirthless exercise and agony. What stands out in your mind the most when thinking back on making this cult classic?
I was just recounting the other day of how many people were injured making the movie in different ways. I twisted my ankle so bad, it's probably sort of broken, you know, but we kept shooting. I was running down a hill and just that thing popped on me, but there we are in the middle of shooting, so you just keep going. And I know there's one particular scene in the movie where I can watch myself limping across the room because we filmed it right after this happened.
Oh,
Sam Raimi got hit by a log that was being held up into place, that some rigging snapped and a log smashed him in the head. He was chased by a deer. My brother Don fell off a cliff when we were scouting locations and fell about 20 feet off a cliff to the forest floor. Another buddy of mine jumped out of the rafters of the cabin we were shooting and landed on a 2x4 that had a spike sticking up through it. It went right through his foot. He had to grab his leg and like force it off of the spike, and he just limped away. We didn't see him again for about 3 days. I mean, we wrecked a rental car. We ruined a camera housing to a very expensive Aeroflex camera. Nobody wanted to rent to us after that because we brought the equipment back in terrible shape.
So real life was mimicking the art that you guys were in the process of creating, huh?
Yeah, I think we were just being method filmmakers. Like, it had to be bad in order to seem bad.
Is it true that Raimi and somebody else were poking your ankle with a stick after you heard it?
Yeah, that's right, because that's what you would do in a Lord of the Flies kind of scenario where everyone turns on each other. We were so delirious at that point, they cornered me in the corner of a room, and they each had sticks. I'm like, what are you guys going to do with that? And they just started poking me in the ankle, and it was so absurd to me, I started laughing. And they thought because I was laughing, I thought it was funny and I was enjoying it. But I thought it was so absurd that they're making fun of my plight and making it worse. So, yeah, that's kind of what that shoot was like.
That's wild. So filming occurred in a forest outside a small town in Tennessee, with a lot of the action occurring in and around a real-life abandoned cabin. Were you and the crew really sleeping in that cabin at night after wrapping for the day? And if so, just how bad were those living conditions?
Well, we traded off because what happened is We had some theft out at the cabin one night. We went home during the middle of the night to eat what would be our lunch at about 2 o'clock in the morning. But some locals snuck into the cabin and stole the power tools. Right next to the power tool was a $20,000 Aeroflex camera. They didn't touch that because they didn't need that. They needed power tools. We realized that this cabin was being sort of scoped out at night. So we each took turns sleeping and shivering by the fire until the next day of filming. So yeah, it was rough and ready.
On nights where you were taken back to the hotel after filming, I also read that you had to ride in the back of a pickup truck because you were so covered in blood from the day. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I'd stick to the seats, and it made any interior space undesirable. So we had this white pickup truck, so they would just throw me in the back of the pickup truck. And we came back on a Sunday morning as people were coming out to get in their cars to go to church. And I looked like a serial killer. And the looks of these people clutching their King James Bible is unmistakable. As they watched me, it was all in slow motion. They watched me as we're going past. And I was like, good morning, good morning. Yeah, it was a weird time. And in order to get it off me, I had to step directly into the hot shower with all the clothes on. Because that all you needed was time and heat.
So you were also helping the crew with prepping shots and helping to set up props when not on camera, while also putting your family's Michigan property up as collateral to help finish the movie and blow it up for a 35mm film. Was this due to your belief in what y'all were creating, or was this more a matter of not knowing any better?
It was a little of both. As a producer, you know, me and Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert, we're the executive producers. We're responsible for trying to get this movie made. You know, when you're 21, you ask your parents to do stuff like that. And the three of us had no family, had no girlfriends, had no children. So we could be as reckless as we wanted to be. But you had to still do it. It's one thing to talk about it. We had the guts or the balls or the stupidity or whatever you want to call it to do it and to not stop. And the first movie took really 3 years of stopping and starting and stopping and starting, but we never gave up. So that's a lot of it. Young filmmakers today have a little bit of an easier time with all the digital stuff, and it's easier to get your film shown in a movie theater, et cetera, but you still have to do it. A lot of filmmaking is just work.
Is that the biggest risk you've ever taken as a filmmaker? Obviously, it takes big swings to accomplish huge things, and you guys nailed it with this. And despite the fact that there was maybe a little bit of a difficult time selling it first, once Stephen King is on board, obviously, it does get a theatrical release after that, and it's lived on for 40 years now. Is that the biggest risk you've ever taken in film?
Oh, of course, because we were willing to do it. Look, it's your first movie. I think a lot of people would be willing to do just about anything to get a movie in a theater. And it's funny, it took 6 years to break even and even more to make money for the investors. But to me, when I finally saw that at my local movie theater at a Saturday matinee with about 30 people in the audience, I was like, this is it. This is where I saw the Poseidon Adventure. Now our movie is here. We have made it. I mean, everything else was gravy after that. We just wanted to get in a doggone movie theater.
There you go. Part of the interview Trey did with Bruce Campbell. We'll play the rest of it for you at 2:30. It will start with the discussion about how Stephen King connects to Evil Dead, which I never really knew that story. You'll hear that coming up a little later on. And we're also going to get that full interview up for you at some point at hornfm.com. So we'll let you know when that happens. Thanks to Bruce Campbell for giving Trey time. And again, the screening is tomorrow of Evil Dead at the Paramount. AustinTheater.org. They're going to make sure everything is social distance and you're wearing your mask when you need to and all of that. But they're going to do a little, you know, conversation with him afterwards. And I think you can take a picture somehow socially distance with Bruce. But check out those VIP tickets if you're interested. If you're one of those Longhorn fans that just doesn't want to watch him play right now, maybe this is something you could do. Go check out a screening of Evil Dead. There's a lot of stuff coming in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. People, everything from there's no way I can actively root against my team, and they only play so many times a year, so I'm definitely watching them no matter what. That would be my side of things. You always got to watch your team. But some people are also texting in. Texas needs to show it week to week, not just this Saturday, and lose to K-State. I've seen the prediction. They'll win this one, but lose to West Virginia. They might do, you know, they'll win by 10, but then they're going to lose another game down the line somewhere. And remember, this would be the first win on the road against a ranked team that Tom Herman has ever had. And if you want to tell me that 6 years in is way too late for that to happen and it just can't work, okay, fine, but it is a truth that it would be his first time to do that. We will see if that can get rid of some of the feelings that are going on. But we do have a lot of stuff coming in. This is an interesting text that I wanted to read. Again, 337-3776 on the Specs text line. This says, once the recruits aren't buying what the coach is selling, especially in-state recruits who like the university, time for Belmont to make a move, even if Mensa wins the Big 12. Now, that's an interesting notion. I saw another text already that says, even if they win out, it is over. That is a wild way to look at it, but maybe that is the case. Who knows? We'll continue to talk about that and ask some of those important questions coming. We'll talk Texas at 1 and 2. Dustin McComas at 105 from Orange Bloods. Kevin Dunn of the Triple Option at 2 is going to jump in and talk a little bit of that and some World Series with me in baseball as well. Up next, though, it is the crap bag. It's the Scottish guy before the Oklahoma State game. Some of those thoughts and a ranting and raving, plus some updates from the world of baseball. His suspension is now over, and he has a job. I'll tell you who he is on the horn. All right, I think I know this one, and it doesn't freak me out like it freaks other people out, because A, I've never seen the movie. And B, even if I could get through it, it's not quite the thing that scares me the most. Isn't this The Exorcist?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Bro, people get really creeped out by demons. I don't get it. I don't know if it's a religious thing. I don't know if it's what it is.
No, that's what I'm saying. It freaks a lot of people out. This is a classic. This is one of those songs that, like, it's hard to imagine the movie without the song and the song. It's just, it all comes together to make it so terrifying. So maybe The Exorcist is one you check out today or tomorrow. We've got a Halloween. I heard Aaron Hogan say it this week. It's the first Halloween with a full moon in the United States, or maybe the world at large, I guess. That'd be the whole world, right? The moon is near the whole world, not just the United States. Way to go, Chad. Doc Hastings would not be proud of that one. But the first full moon since the 40s?
Yeah, I heard it's like 44, right? I think, first full moon on Halloween.
Crazy, man. All right, so more Halloween scary, spooky music coming from Sam Pika. Couple of quick updates for you. The expected but still bad recruiting news for Texas did happen last night, or at least part of it did. Faison Wilson of Lancaster did decommit. I think the other guy is still technically in the class of 2022. Also from the world of baseball, A.J. Hinch off suspension. Congrats, I guess. Going to be the manager of the Detroit Tigers. By the way, I told you yesterday that Tony La Russa is the new manager of the White Sox. They put out an announcement on social media, and it contained A.J. Hinch's signature. And I don't mean like a online, you know, end of your email signature. I mean literally his signature was up by Tony La Russa's name because they screwed it up because they had multiple things going on in their graphics department because they were considering A.J. Hinch, and they just messed it up. So just a piece of advice maybe to the White Sox. If you're going to hire the 76-year-old guy nobody else wants, he's going to do enough to make you look stupid. Don't do it on your own. Don't go into stupid world by yourself. That's kind of what the White Sox did there. All right, a lot of football to get into. We'll talk to Dustin McComas coming up at 1 and get his feeling on Texas and Oklahoma State. Plus, Dustin's a Steelers guy, so I've got to ask him about Steelers-Ravens. Cannot wait for that ball game. Right now, though, let's go to the crap bag.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
It is brought to you by AV Consultations. AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. That media room, that man cave you've always dreamed of. If you have not been seeing The Exorcist the right way, if she's been going upside down, backwards down those stairs, or up those stairs, or whatever, the wrong way, it's not clear enough, you need to get a better setup. AV Consultations can do that for you. All right, how about a little Scottish guy for you? It's game week, so here's Scottish guy before the Oklahoma State game. Here we go.
I like it better when you are around. Now that you're gone, the grass is all brown and the skies are gray. I don't know what to say, baby, please. Come back to me. So good news first. They beat Baylor, might have found a run game, the eyes of Texas thing seemingly fixed itself, and Malcolm Brown had a good game for the Rams. Now the other news. The mighty Quinn decides he's not going to be a Longhorn. So for the other QBs in the 22 class that were considering Texas in July, the burnt orange is back in play. But for the fans, head coach, AD, boosters, and program, this is one big sandwich. So what to do? Option one, dive right in. Pay the money, get a screen name, pick an avatar, and take a nice picture of your wife's you can use as your signature. Then get ready for every rumor, denial, rant, blame game, and plane tracking story you can handle. We could be closing in on a coach hunt at a Blue Blood program. There really is nothing like it. Plus, this one could have a little more urban feel to it. Option two, head in the sand. Make fun of the websites. Tell your friends five stars don't matter. Blame the media and nod along when old Tommy uses COVID as an excuse. 2020 is hard. Or option three, just win, baby. Okie State's defense has stopped Tulsa, Kansas, the Mountain People, and Cyclones dropping balls. They have not faced Sam, and Tom loves it when he's the underdog. Did I mention they found a running game? Holy f***, I hope they found a running game. All right, prepare yourselves for 5 weeks of either win and survive, or lose and... well, you know, UT-62. Could it actually be a real defense? Three. This is SG. COMEBACK.
All right, you can check out all the Scottish guys at hornfm.com from the whole season. We got podcasts up there for you. We've got show hours that you may have missed. Go check it all out at hornfm.com. Also, Sam, we may need a side-by-side. Because someone has texted in, I may be crazy, but I'm pretty sure that was Halloween and not The Exorcist. If you could get us a side-by-side ready, that would be great. Because I know what they're hearing. I know exactly what they're hearing. That was The Exorcist. We will play you both of them, and you will hear the difference. This one says, I seem to recall that less deer-in-the-headlights look on the sidelines. Miles was there in DKR. Wouldn't that have been 2004? Because I recall Cedric Benson playing an integral part in that comeback. You know what? You're absolutely right. And another listener pointed that out. I had the year, I was off 1 year. Les Miles last year was 04. Therefore, Gundy's first year was 05. So Vince and the comeback here was against Les Miles. Vince and the comeback in Stillwater Halloween weekend, that was the first year of Gundy. So you're all absolutely right to call me out on that one. But you know what I mean about Mike Gundy teams, and because later on with a little bit of sloppiness, just how much sloppiness does this team have? Because the defense feels pretty real. We're going to find out how real tomorrow afternoon. All right, let's go side by side. Give me Exorcist first. This is what he played earlier. Right? The straight-up keyboard vibe. Now, I know this is not Halloween because the first scary movie I ever saw was in the theater, way too young, way too late, and it was Halloween. So every time I hear the Halloween theme, a shiver runs down my spine. It's not running down my spine right now, but it's about to. Give them Halloween. Right. Ooh, yeah. That's it. Little different. Slightly different. Yeah, this would be your Mike Myers. This would be dude in the mask staring blankly into space. Oh, my God. 1977 or 78 was Halloween?
Yeah, I wanted to say 77.
Ooh, a truly groundbreaking, terrifying, scary movie. I look back on it now and I realize the little ingredients that made it extra scary and extra important. But at the time, whew, I was in fourth or fifth grade and I saw a midnight showing of it. In walks a Hatchie. Dude's mom forgot to pick us up. Picked us up at like 2:30 or 3. So we're downtown. It's dark. We drive out to their house in the country, and I have to sleep by a window with a tree banging, the limb banging against the window. I seriously could not go in the dark for years. It was that bad. It freaked me out. So there's a difference between The Exorcist and Halloween. Whatever your scary movie is, check it out. And remember, that Evil Dead screening is going on tomorrow. Go to austintheater.org to check out the screening with Bruce Campbell. They're going to do a question and answer afterwards, all socially distanced and safe. But go on. They do have some select tickets left. Go check out those VIP tickets. Part two of Trey's interview with Bruce Campbell coming up at 2:30 today. Also, real quick on the birthday front, let's say happy birthday to a few. Henry Winkler, the Fonz, but also in the new show, Barry. Is Barry coming back soon? I love that show. He's 75 today. Kevin Pollak is 63. A Few Good Men's, one of my favorite movies, so anybody that's in it, I use that opportunity. I'm a pro wrestling guy. Edge is 47. Happy birthday to Edge. So glad he's been able to figure out a way to rewrite the end of his career. Hopefully he gets to come back and do that the way he wants to. I think he's off and on injury right now. Tomorrow, Dan Rather. You want to know who's born on Halloween? Dan Rather, the famous broadcaster, Halloween guy. John Candy, appropriate, right? Your name Candy, and you're born on Halloween. He would have been 70 tomorrow. Vanilla Ice was born on Halloween, and maybe the most perfect one of all, Nick Saban himself. That's right. Nick Saban was born on Halloween. He'll be 69 years old tomorrow. If you don't know the old school, you got to learn it. Nick Saban, Kent State. Yeah, that's right. He was a Kent State Flash back in the day. So here's your list. Nick Saban, James Harrison also went to Kent State. And don't forget who else went to Kent State. Before he became the coach of God's football team and won a national championship in 1988, like they're going to win it this year, the great Lou Holtz went to Kent State. Don't ever forget the Kent State crew. There's a lot of them. A lot of them there. Bill Belichick's not in that group, is he? No, I don't think he is. No, I think he was something else. I think he was somewhere else. But there's seems every once in a while, the Kent State guys will pop up. So happy birthday to Nick Saban tomorrow. All right, coming up, it is Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. The very latest on Texas and Oklahoma State, the recruiting losses the Longhorns continue to suffer, and what does it all mean? We'll find out next on The Horn.